न्यूज सर्विसेज डिवीजन ऑफ आकाशवाणी प्रेजेंट्स नॉर्थ ईस्ट डायरी।
गुड इवनिंग, वेलकम टू दिस एडिशन ऑफ नॉर्थ ईस्ट डायरी। एज वी एक्सप्लोर द नॉर्थ ईस्टर्न पार्ट ऑफ इंडिया, इट गेट्स इंट्रीगिंग टू नो अबाउट इट इन ईच एपिसोड। लेट मी शेयर द एक्साइटमेंट इन स्टोर फॉर यू। टुडे वी ब्रिंग द सेलिब्रेशन ऑफ दिवाली, द फेस्टिवल ऑफ लाइट्स from Northeast India. And in our segment, Enchanting Folk Tales of Northeast India, we delve into the captivating world of Northeastern folklore, unearthing tales that have been passed down through generations, revealing the magic and wonder of Northeast India's storytelling tradition. But for now, let's head over to Maulinong village, nestled in the East Khasi Hills district of Meghalaya. Here, Colonel Manny and Ghatraj share his unique experience of cleanliness in this village, aptly known as Asia's cleanest village or God's own garden.
Stirred to a slow, dreamy wakefulness from a night-long slumber caused by a tiredness of almost 100 kilometers plus drive from Shillong, I woke up to the sounds of chirping birds in Maulinong, the cleanest village of Asia. Located in the East Khasi Hills district of Meghalaya, the abode of clouds, this little village is the epitome of cleanliness and orderliness personified. The warm and gentle caress by God's finger-like rays of the rising sun, filtering through the white laced curtains of the open window, gliding in sync with a gentle moving breeze, bathed the tiny wooden room. Fully awake, refreshed and invigorated by the magical morning, I observed the cool interiors of the small room with wooden walls, wooden door and two tiny wooden windows and a rough wooden ceiling. Tempted, as always, to breathe the fresh morning air outside, walking out through the wooden door, I surveyed the scene outside as I sat on a long wooden bench at the veranda of the cottage. A small and neat courtyard was filled with riots of bright pink and magenta bougainvillea bushes, and the rays of the rising sun from the eastern horizon reached the cottage garden, filtering through the branches of pine, aromatic bay leaf trees, and the thick green foliage of lychee and jackfruit trees that guarded the cottage as it stood at peace and in silence with itself. Savoring nature's paradise with a hot mug of strong Khasi tea that materialized through a sweet, smiling little girl of the house, I heard the sound of a jungle miner from a nearby stream gurgling down the village. The morning peace was punctuated by the chirpy and lively bird calls, and I could distinctly hear the melodious twitting of magpies and robins. I clicked photos of the house, the garden, and the surroundings at random. There were birds dancing and hopping around in the garden, feeding themselves with flower juice, insects and worms. I noticed a scarlet minivet, a Burmese roller and a blue-throated barbet amongst robins, sparrows, while a flock of noisy seven sisters flew in and out of the garden in a hurry. The beautiful cottage homestay, my home for the day, belonged to Lurshai Khongsni, who doubled as a primary school teacher of the local government school and owner of an orchard of orange, pineapple and areca nut, locally called Kwai. I was referred to Lurshai by his uncle and one of my best friends and regimental officer, Lieutenant Colonel Martin Kongmen, retired, who was born and had spent his carefree boyhood in Maulinong. Now he lives in Shillong, pursuing evangelical and social work. Lieutenant Colonel Martin not only arranged my trip, but unbeknownst to me, even sponsored my trip by passing a sealed envelope to his nephew. I was extremely fortunate as another dear friend and regimental officer, Colonel Sanjay Mothe, lent his private car for the trip, although regular bus sumo services as well as hired taxis are available from Bada Bazar, Shillong to Maulinong at reasonable tariff. I washed up, changed and relished a breakfast of bread with local orange honey, omelette of local duck eggs, washing it down with my favorite strong Khasi tea. Refreshed with a good night's sleep and a hearty breakfast, I left the house with Lurshai to explore the village. As we walked around the village, I was most pleasantly shocked and surprised by its spotlessly clean environment. It could not be India, my dear country. The entire village was just plain clean, without frills, without a single trace of dirt, trash, cow dung, or for that matter, even chicken or bird droppings. Having carried out numerous cleanliness and orderliness inspections in my military life, I critically looked around for those small colored shining tobacco gutka packets that litter the cities, towns and villages of India, but found none. Even the drains along the houses and roads were spotless, and children had playfully chalk written letters of the alphabet in the drains. I observed a few trash or waste papers in conical bamboo baskets tied to bamboo poles and thoughtfully placed low enough for the children to use. I observed children playing and dogs and cats and chicken moving about, but not a bit of litter anywhere. The main road was blacktop tarmac, and there were smaller cemented footpaths connecting houses or clusters of houses. And there were a few ordinary modern stone footpaths, all neat and clean. Most of the dwellings were small cottages with corrugated iron sheet roofs and wooden or bamboo walls. All the houses were erected over 2 to 3 feet high lofts or machans for air circulation and to ensure safety from rainwater during monsoons. There were a few roadside shops where girls were selling fruits, cold drinks, vegetables and wooden artifacts from Bangladesh, all neatly arranged over wooden benches, and again, no litter, absolutely clean. As I walked, marveling the sense of cleanliness of the villagers, I saw a small boy deliberately placing dry leaves and a few papers in the conical bamboo waste basket. That was the sense of cleanliness instilled in the children since the time they came into the world of Maulinong. In other words, keeping the homes and the village clean was a way of life for the simple Khasi people of this village that was passed from generation to generation. The waste collected in the conical bamboo baskets is regularly poured into pits and used as manure after a few months of maturing. The village headman informed me that waste which is not biodegradable is collected and dumped at a dumping site far away from the village once a month. Maulinong village has undoubtedly set an example for others that needs to be replicated in other villages. The spirit of cleanliness exhibited by the villagers through their self-sustained efforts deserves an applause. Well, after the long day drew to an end, I thought of giving myself a break and returned to my beautiful cottage to prepare myself to discover other gems of this magical land.
Friends, now we delve into the captivating world of northeastern folklore, unearthing tales passed down through generations that reveal the magic and wonder of Northeast India's storytelling tradition. And today we invite you to immerse yourself in a captivating Thai Khamti folktale titled Nang Farm and the Three Suitors, narrated by our senior broadcaster Kaushik Roy.
Nang Pham was a shrewd and opportunistic girl who lived in a ramshackle house all by herself. There were three other young men from a nearby village who tried to woo her. Nang Pham encouraged all three of them and used her wiles to get the young men to run errands for her. Tam Leng visited her in the mornings and would fetch the water from the river and tend to her vegetable garden. Hokam would appear in the afternoons and chop the firewood for her. Kang Khun would come at night and keep watch while she slept. Nang Pham spoke sweetly to all three of them and sent them on their way before it was time for the other to arrive. This comfortable arrangement continued for a while. One day, she noticed that her veranda was on the verge of collapse and in urgent need of repairs. When she asked her three suitors to get the bamboo required for the job, they were more than eager to oblige. While you are in the jungle cutting the bamboo, I shall cook you a delicious meal of chicken and rice. Start at daybreak, and when you have cut 10 poles, you can come and collect your lunch, she told Tam Leng. To Hokam, she said, start at daybreak, and when you have cut 15 poles, you can come and collect your lunch. Kang Kun was instructed to collect his lunch after he had cut 20 poles. In this way, none of them would know anything about the other. The next morning, Nam Pham began preparing lunch for the three men. She cooked chicken in bamboo shoot gravy and divided it neatly into 3 portions, which she then wrapped in leaves. Wrapping a bowl of rice for each one of her suitors, she sat down and waited for the young men to collect their meal. Tam Leng, Ho Kam and Kang Kun started off at daybreak and met at the forest. Quite by chance, they had all decided to cut bamboo from the same grove. They exchanged polite conversation and went about their work. Tam Leng left the grove after he had cut 10 poles, collected his lunch and resumed his work. Ho Kam went for his lunch after cutting 15 poles, and Kang Kun went only after he had cut 20 poles. Since they all came at different times, none of them met at the Nang Farm residence. It was high noon when the three of them decided to sit down and share the meal. Tam Leng opened his leaf, and the aroma of the bamboo shoot assailed his nostrils. My girlfriend has given me a chicken leg in bamboo shoot gravy, he declared proudly. No one can cook as well as her. Mine too has given me a dish similar to yours, Ho Kam said. Chicken leg in bamboo shoot gravy. How strange, mine too is chicken in bamboo shoot gravy, but mine is the leg portion, exclaimed Kang Kun. Let us see if this leg belongs to your chicken, Tam Leng said jokingly, picking up his piece of chicken leg and placing it next to Kang Kun's piece. Ho Kam did the same thing with his piece. All the 3 pieces fit perfectly. It really was one bird divided into 3 portions. They looked incredulously at chicken and then at each other. What is your girlfriend's name? Tam Leng asked the other two. Nang Pham, they replied. They also discovered that they were all cutting bamboo for the same girl without knowing it. Slowly it dawned on them that Nang Pham had only been using them for own selfish reasons. Realizing that they had been made fools of, the three men decided to confront Nang Pham. Let's teach her a lesson, Ho Kam said, and they all went to Nang Pham's house and forcibly took her with them. They decided to sell her off at the slave market in the city and took turns carrying her on their backs. Nang Pham was no lightweight, and before long the young men were exhausted from carrying the heavy burden. They sat down under the shade of a tree near a paddy field to regain their strength. But the warm sun and cool breeze soon put the 3 tired men to sleep. The owner of the paddy field happened to be inspecting his crop. Seeing the 3 sleeping men and the girl, the man went forward and asked the girl what were they doing there. I am on my way to the city to sell these slaves, she said, pointing to the sleeping men. Well, I do need some workers, so you can sell them to me, the man said. They settled at a price, and after the money exchanged hands, Nang Pham made a quick getaway. The owner of the field picked up a stick and prodded the 3 sleeping men with it. Time to get up and work. I didn't pay to watch you sleep all day. Tam Leng, Ho Kam and Kang Kun woke up with a start. Rubbing the sleep off their eyes, they looked around and saw that Nang Pham was nowhere in sight. Instead, there was this fat man poking them with a stick and telling them to go to work. They drew their swords and chased the startled man away. She has tricked us again. This time we won't spare her. We must finish her off for good, they said. Meanwhile, Nang Pham had reached home and was plotting to get rid of all 3 men. Knowing they would come back for her sooner or later, she prepared food and drinks mixed with a poisonous herb and waited. when they barged in through a door, she very sweetly exclaimed, "I was expecting you all to come, so I have prepared some food and drinks. Come, let us eat first and then discuss what we have to do." Having walked all the way in the hot sun, the three men were tired, hungry, and thirsty. The aroma of the food was too tempting to resist, and the three men ate and drank to their heart's content. The poison took effect, and soon they were all dead. Nang Pham lost no time in planning her next move. She hid two of the dead men inside and dragged Tham Leng's body out on the veranda. Sitting next to his body, she waited for someone to pass by. Sure enough, Kon Muk, a foolish man, was walking along the road. Nang Pham let out a loud wail and soon had Kon Muk running towards her house. "Why are you crying, sister?" she asked in a concerned manner. "I've lost my husband, and I cannot even carry him to his grave," she sobbed. Kon Muk thought it was an opportunity for him to earn some quick money. "I will bury him for you if you will pay me for it," Kon Muk said. "I will pay you whatever you ask," Nang Pham replied. Kon Muk carried Tham Leng's body and buried him a little way off near the forest. In the meantime, Nang Pham brought out Hokam's body and went down to dirty her feet in the wet mud. She walked up to the steps with muddy feet, leaving her footprints all over the steps and the veranda. When Kon Muk came back to collect his payment, she pointed to the muddy footprints near the body and swept, "You must have buried him in a shallow grave. That's why he has walked back home." Kon Muk looked at the muddy footprints and believed her. "What should we do now?" Kon Muk asked her. "I think you should take him and throw him into the river," Nang Pham suggested. "The current will carry him downstream and he won't be able to walk back." Kon Muk picked up the body and made his way down towards the river. As soon as Kon Muk left with Hokam's body, she quickly brought out Kang Kun's body and splashed it with a pot full of water. When Kon Muk returned after throwing the body into the river, he was amazed to see that there was a body lying on the veranda drenched in water. "He has come back from the water," she wailed. "This time, please burn him so that he is gone for good." Kon Muk carried the body to the cremation ground and burned it. This time he made sure that the job was thorough. Totally exhausted from ferrying the bodies to their graves, Kon Muk wiped his brow and started walking towards Nang Pham's house to collect his payment. A farmer had just finished setting his fields on fire and was returning home covered with soot. Kon Muk saw the farmer and ran towards him shouting, "It is you again. I buried you and you came back. I threw you into the water and you managed to come back. Now you have come back after I had just burned you?" He tried to catch hold of the farmer, but the farmer thought him mad and pushed him away. Kon Muk would have none of it. He wasn't about to let go of this man who kept coming back from the grave. After all, he had to collect his money for the three times that he had gone about disposing of the body. The two of them grappled with each other, and soon a curious crowd gathered around to watch them. "Why are the two of you fighting?" someone from the crowd asked after they were forcibly separated. "He is not a man, but a ghost. He keeps coming back from the grave," Kon Muk pointed his finger at the farmer. "He is a madman, I tell you," the farmer shouted back. There were a few people who knew the farmer, and they demanded an explanation from Kon Muk. Kon Muk related the events of the day and led them all to Nang Pham's house. Nang Pham pretended she did not even know Kon Muk. "I have never seen him before," she lied. Kon Muk then led them to Tham Leng's grave. Nang Pham tried to escape but was caught and brought before the village council. After she was pronounced guilty of murder, the angry villagers put her in a bamboo basket and threw her into the fast-flowing river.
Today we are exploring the unique ways Diwali is celebrated in Northeast India. While the festival of lights is often linked to traditional practices in other parts of the country, here in the Northeast it takes on a rich and diverse flavor. In Assam, Diwali is celebrated as Kali Puja. Families illuminate their homes with earthen lamps or diyas and burst firecrackers to ward off evil spirits. The streets come alive with joyous sounds and the sweet aroma of festival treats wafting through the air. Traveling to Meghalaya, we witness a breathtaking spectacle as villagers light lamps not just in their homes but also on the hillsides, creating a stunning visual feast that twinkles like stars against the night sky. This sight truly captures the spirit of Diwali, celebrating like overcoming darkness. Now let's head to Nagaland, where the festival of Tokhu Imang coincides with Diwali. This harvest festival is a time for gratitude and celebration, emphasizing community spirits in abundance. It beautifully reminds us of interconnectedness of nature and humanity. In Sikkim, the celebration transforms into the vibrant Tihar festival, cherished by the Gorkha Nepali community. Over 5 days, Tihar honors not only deities, but also the animals that play a vital role in their lives. Each day features its own unique rituals. On the first day, Kag Tihar, crows are honored with offering of rice. These birds are considered messengers of death, and by celebrating them, families invite good fortune and dispel sadness. The second day, Kukur Tihar warms our hearts as we pay homage to our canine companions. Dogs are adorned with marigold garlands, treated to delicious meals, and receive a special tikka as a symbol of respect and love. This day beautifully highlights the bond between humans and animals. And as we move to the third day of Gai Tihar, and Lakshmi Puja takes center stage. Cows, symbols of prosperity and health, are honored with garlands and prayers. The evening shines bright as families welcome the goddess of wealth, Lakshmi, with diyas, music and dance. And on the fourth day, Govardhan Puja marks the beginning of the new year in the Nepali calendar. This day includes diverse rituals, with many families giving special attention to oxen, feeding them delicious treats. And finally, we arrive at Bhai Tika, a day dedicated to the cherished bond between brothers and sisters. Sisters apply Tika to their brothers, wishing them long life and prosperity. This heartfelt exchange strengthens familial ties and brings a joyful conclusion to the Tihar festival. In Northeast India, Diwali or Tihar is more than just a celebration of lights. It is a heartfelt acknowledgement of nature, community and the shared humanity that binds us all. As the lights twinkle across the hills and valleys, they symbolize the triumph of goodness over darkness and the joy of being together with loved ones. Thank you for joining us on this journey through the vibrant celebrations of Diwali in Northeast India. Until next time, may the spirit of joy and togetherness illuminate your hearts. A very happy Diwali to you.
was presented and produced by Vinita Thakur with assistance from Kumar Gaurav. It was brought to you by the New Services Division of Akashwani.